Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. I'd like to thank you all for calling in. This is Brother Elohim live once again and coming out of Philadelphia at 3 o'clock. Today we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about love, as always, and we're going to talk about health. Love is very important because unless we know how to treat each other as a people, unless we know how to handle each other and actually know what love is, we're not going to be able to come together as a community, and we're not going to be able to be together because we won't know how to treat each other. We won't know how to handle each other, you know? And it's very important. That's why when I open up the show, I always talk about love first. Love is the act that makes others feel good. That's why Yahshua said, love your enemy. I'm saying, how in the world can I love my enemy? But if it's an act that makes others feel good, you can turn your enemies into friends. And you can be sure that you won't lose your friends if you treat them only with the acts to make them feel good. If you think, well, before I do this with this person or before I do this to that person, I'm going to consider the act itself. Will this act make that person feel good? Now, sometimes you're in a relationship, you say, well, I don't know if he loves me now. I'm going to push a little button to see if he cares and try to make him jealous. Not a good idea, you know, because that's not going to make them feel good. And if you keep doing things like that, you're going to lose your mate, you know. You can tell if they care about you by the acts that they commit towards you. If they commit acts of love towards you, then that's love. They're loving you, you know. A lot of times we're in a relationship, we don't actually know when a person is actually loving you. They've never committed an act against you that didn't make you feel good. That means that this person has been loving you all this time, you know. You look back in the relationship, you see what's been going on and see what's happening, you know, and you think about all the things that you've done together, you know. And if the person knows how to love you, you can count on one hand the things that they might have done that didn't make them feel good, didn't make them feel good, didn't make you feel good. And if that's the case, the other thing that you can count on one hand are normally by accident, not something that you intentionally meant to do. That's where talk and conversation come in. That's when you talk it out and make sure that you resolve it so it don't happen again, you know. Because if you have enemies and you do like Yahshua says and love your enemies, only commit acts on them that make them feel good, pretty soon those enemies will become friends, okay? So that's what we're talking about. That's why I always talk about love first, because it's so important that we know how to respond and we know how to treat each other. It's very important, you know. Because somebody asked me, they said, well, don't you have enemies? I said, no, I don't have no enemies. What do you mean you don't have enemies? Everybody has some kind of enemies. Well, I don't have enemies. I have people that might perceive me as their enemy, but they're not my enemies. You see what I'm saying? And when it happens, I adjust myself accordingly. Now, if I'm going to an area in a neighborhood Klansman, I'm going to adjust my actions accordingly because I know that they perceive me as an enemy, even though I'm not there to do them any harm, and I don't perceive them as an enemy, but I know they perceive me as an enemy, so I'm going to make the adjustment so that when I go and deal with these people, I won't be caught in a bad situation, you know what I mean? And that's how you're supposed to do it. Because naturally, if you don't have any enemies, then wherever you're going or what you're doing, you're not there to commit or do anything harmful or any bad acts towards the people where you're going, you know? And that's how that works. But you have to be mindful that there are people that perceive you as an enemy, even though you haven't done nothing to them. They don't know you from a can of beans. Just because of the thought process that they have been introduced to, this is where they be coming from and this is how they act, you know? So you have to keep that in mind, too. A lot of it's environment, where they live at, who's been treating them a certain way that from people that look like you. And it gets a little weird out there like that, you know? Now, the topic for today is health. Last month was a pretty rough month for me. I had 4 funerals in 1 week. That's why I missed last week's show. It was kind of rough. So I decided to do a show on health, you know, because we're leaving too fast. Or maybe I've just been around so long that the old folks around me are just starting to go, you know. But one of them wasn't old. One of them was only 27 years old. And, boy, that hit me like a ton of bricks. So I want to do a show on health today, and I want to just read you a few things. I don't know how much you know, the listening audience. Those that are online, I want to thank you very much for calling in. But I just want to read you a few things about health so that you can actually think about the thought process that they have given you in reference to health. I'm talking about this culture, okay? You're eating 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But when you eat, your body is – you have to think, what am I eating for? Why am I eating? Am I eating to get fat, eating to lose weight, eating for health, nutrition? What am I eating for? Your body takes the food because it wants to make new cells. Every 7 years, every cell in your body is reproduced, right? Now, you can reproduce perfect cells or imperfect cells. That depends on what you're feeding the body to reproduce those cells with. Okay? Now, if you, the analogy, because it works pretty good for me, if you're baking a cake, if you put all the right ingredients in, slide that cake in the oven, that cake's going to come out fine, perfect, every time. Not only did you put the right ingredients in when you bake the cake, you're using mathematics. So you're using a certain portion because what you're doing is chemistry. When you're making a cake, you're mixing chemicals. That's what you're doing. And you have to measure out what chemicals you're putting in, a cup of this, half a cup of that, 3 teaspoons of margarine, a stick of margarine, whatever you're doing. And with the mathematics on chemicals, you put the same chemical portions in the oven every time, and you get that perfect cake every time. Even the heat of the oven has to be factored into when you're making a cake. Okay? So when you're making those perfect cells, it's the same principle. Okay? You have to put certain foods in to get that perfect cell, but you can't put part of the foods in the morning, part of the foods in the afternoon, and part of the foods in the evening. You're not going to get the perfect. At the end of the day, the body's going to be producing that defective cell. You have to put everything in the body that you need so that when it hits that 98.6 degree oven, which you call your stomach, it will begin to bake. And from the baking process, it takes the nutrients that it needs out of the system, out of the stomach, into the bloodstream, and it sends it to all the different portions of the body so the body can get what it needs to make that perfect cell. See? So when you eat in the morning, you get up and eat a couple of eggs or some home fries, the 3 meal baby diet that you have you on doesn't have all the proper nutrients in it. So when you eat, so after about 50, 60 years, you know, you're constantly running to the doctor. This was designed so that you do not get that SSI check, you know what I mean? That designed so you don't collect the money. They've been collecting off your job all these years. By the time it's come for you to collect when you're 65, you're gone. Most of us are leaving at 65. Now, you have some people that grew up in the South. Now, the people that grew up in the South, they have a sort of better understanding of what combinations to put together to make the to eat, because they know they need fat, they need this, they need that, because they was kind of like raised a little different than the people in the city and the urban areas. So they wound up living a little longer, you know. But we're not breaking 110, we're not breaking 120, we're not breaking 130, we're not living at 200, because we're still creating a lot of defective cells. So you have to change your entire thought process on how you eat if you're going to feed the body to make the perfect cell. Now, if you're going to eat what tastes good, trust me, everything that's not good for you tastes good to you. I'm telling you, the stuff that tastes great, oh, man, they're not good for you, turning tired and walking around, tastes great. where's the nutrition? You might as well eat the box. The box is more nutritious than some of the cereals and stuff you eat out there. You put the box and some milk and sugar in there, and you have just enough nutrition and eat that stuff that they got inside the box, you know? So you have to be mindful of what you're eating. What I'm going to do at this particular time, I'm going to read off some things just to sort of corroborate what I'm saying in reference to the body needs all the nutrients at the same time to make that cell, you know? Because when you're talking about, let's talk about protein for a minute, right? Now, where does proteins come from? Protein comes from meat, poultry, fish, dried beans. It comes from peas, cheese, eggs, and milk. This is where your protein sources come from. Now, check this out. Part of the structure of every cell, such as muscle, blood, bone, and supports growth and maintains healthy body cells, okay, constitute part of enzymes, some hormones and body fluids, and antibodies that increase resistance to infection. So that's how important protein is. But it's a part of every cell. Now, it's a part of, so that means it goes with parts of the cell to help produce some of the things that's produced. And now let's get into carbohydrates. Where does carbohydrates come from? Cereals, potatoes, dried beans, rice, corn, bread, sugar, whole grain, fruits, and vegetables. That's where you get your carbs from, right? And this supplies calories, major source of energy, for the central nervous system. Okay, and the carbohydrates help the central nervous system. It supplies energy so that the protein can be used for growth and maintenance of the body's cells. See, the carbohydrates works with the protein. They work together, you know. Unrefined products supply fiber for regular elimination, assistance in fat utilization. Unrefined products, you know. Now, you got to be careful about these refined products that you're eating out here, because a lot of them don't really do that much justice, okay? Now, I'm just saying that it tells you that carbohydrates work with the protein, all right? Now let's get into the fat. Where does fat come from? Shortening, oil, butter, margarine, salad dressing, fatty meats, okay? It supplies 9 calories per gram, and it constitutes part of the structure of every cell, supplies essential fatty acids, provides and carries fat soluble vitamins. So these carbs your fat helps carry the vitamins into the system. Okay, so so that works together. Now you got vitamin A, which is called retinol, right? Now this comes from liver, carrots, sweet peas, greens, yellow or orange vegetables and fruits. Now, assist in formation and maintenance of skin, membrane that line the body cavities and tracts, such as nasal passages and intestinal tract, thus increasing resistance to infection. Functions as a visual processor and forms visual purple, thus permitting healthy eye tissue and eye adaption in dim light. So the retinol, the vitamin A, helps your eyes and stuff like that. But I'm just reading you some of the stuff just to let you know that the stuff that you're eating, it all works together towards producing that perfect cell, okay? And then you got the vitamin C, which is ascorbic acid, right? You get that from broccoli, orange, or grapefruit, papaya, mango, and strawberry. And I said, well, broccoli, I didn't know that vegetables have vitamin C. Well, some vegetables do, but broccoli is not actually a vegetable, it's actually a fruit, okay? We'll get to that right now. So it forms cementing substance such as collagen that hold the body cells together, thus strengthening blood vessels, hastening healing of wounds and bones, and increasing resistance to infection. So these are just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the things that the body needs in the body at the same time. There's more to all of this. There's a lot more to all of this. We only have an hour, so because I want to cover some other things, too, in reference to the health is concerned. My computer just shut down. I mean, why? I don't know. Hold on. Okay. Okay, there we go. We're back. Yeah. So I wanted to go through some of this health stuff because it's so important that we eat properly. And we've been eating like crazy. We don't know with the sugar and the cakes and the cookies and the sodas and the drinks and the coffee, the stuff that we're taking. Now, this is a couple of things that I researched myself that I have in the book throughout the scriptures. It's about that formaldehyde. Formaldehyde is terrible. And most of the foods that we're eating, especially the flesh that we're eating, has naturally occurring formaldehyde in it. All right. Now, formaldehyde is stuff that the embalmers use to embalm people, you know. And so it's not a very good substance to have in the body. It destroys the upper digestive tract. Now, what is the upper digestive tract? I asked health workers about the upper digestive tract, and I always hesitate. My daughter, she's in school being a gynecologist, and I asked her about the upper digestive tract. She hesitated. It's something that I don't know what it is about the upper digestive tract that they're not telling their health workers that have them up on it. You know, I asked my doctor. She hesitated. I got a female doctor. David, you know, when I asked about the upper digestive tract, I did my research. Believe it or not, it's the tongue. It's the tonsils. It's sarcophagus. It's these terminologies. It's and it's the small intestine. This is your upper digestive tract, and these things have to be working properly in order to digest the food. And formaldehyde destroys these things, you know. And you have to be mindful that you need your teeth. They don't list, but your tongue is part of the upper digestive tract. You don't have the teeth as part of the upper digestive tract, but man, you need to chew that food, you know. So you don't want to put too much formaldehyde in your system. Now, do they put formaldehyde in the food as a preservative? Most times they don't, because they don't need it. Because in the flesh that you're eating, I'm not using the term meat, because in the Bible, meat is your seeds and plants and vegetables and stuff. That's your meat. And flesh is from the animals. That's flesh. So when you eat the flesh, flesh have a natural occurring formaldehyde in it, so that when something happens, like in the forest or the jungle, and an animal gets struck by something and dies, the natural occurring formaldehyde kicks in so that the other animals that eat flesh will have the other scavengers before it actually decays. So it slows the decaying process down, you know. So all of your flesh have formaldehyde in it. And the thing about it, when you freeze flesh, it actually increases the amount of formaldehyde that's in the flesh. That's something that most people don't know, but I'm just laying it out there so you know, you know. It actually increases the amount of formaldehyde that's in the flesh, okay? So you need to be mindful of how much flesh you're eating. Now, remember, you only need 23 grams of protein per day. That's about a scoop of tuna fish or maybe one chicken leg. But you don't need to eat eggs and bacon and all that stuff in the morning. Then in the afternoon, eat a turkey sandwich or a big steak. And then in the evening, you get an 8-ounce piece of steak with potatoes and all that. That's too much protein. Cancer is a protein derivative. Okay? It consumes protein. So when the body produces, when you're producing too much protein in the system produces something to deal with it, which is cancer. Okay, and it will not only eat the protein that it's producing, but remember, your flesh is protein. So it will eat your flesh too. So it will not only eat the excess protein that you're making, but it will begin to eat you as well, you know. And most of you who have cancer, anybody that have cancer, if you cut back on your protein to the actual amount that you need and put yourself on a vinegar, honey, and lemon diet, you know, well, not a diet, but if you take that every morning and every evening, every morning and the evening, and then before you go to bed, right, take a quarter teaspoon of baking soda, drink that down. If you do that for a period of time, your cancer will literally go away. You know, you ate yourself into that mess, and you could eat yourself out of it, you know. And they have a couple of doctors out there that have been doing that. Dr. Gerson, she's been curing cancer she's no longer alive. She died, I think it's about 90 or something when she died. But she's been curing cancer forever. Dr. Sabian, he's been curing cancer. They knocked him off. I think last year they killed him. I say kill them because a person that's on a mucusless diet don't die from pneumonia. Because pneumonia, it comes from mucus. But he was in jail, so I don't know what they were feeding him in the prison. But see, now they have weaponized them. They have weaponized cancer. They have weaponized pneumonia. They've weaponized all this stuff. They can give you this stuff. Like Arthur Ashe gave him AIDS. Somebody, he got it from a blood transfusion. Yeah, I don't know if you know who Arthur Ashe was, but he was a black Wimbledon. He was a black person that played tennis that won Wimbledon. I think he was the first black person that won Wimbledon, you know. It was before Serena and them came along. And they knock him off. But they have a way of, they weaponize the stuff and they can knock you off. A lot of the old timers, especially the guys from down south, you know, like mine, they stay away from them doctors, you know. I mean, they run. You miss a hospital, man, they're getting away from you quick because they know that the hospitals aren't the best thing for them, that they have most of the cure that you need is right in the food that you're eating. And American Medical Association put out that the third leading cause of death in America is the actual doctors themselves. That's something to think about. The third leading cause of death is actually the doctors. You know, I don't know what's wrong with my switchboard. The clock is not working properly, but okay, there we go. But it's the third leading cause of death put out by the American switchboard. The American doctors that are put out by the American Medical Association, okay? So I just wanted to run a few things off to you as far as health is concerned so that you can get on the right track, you know? And they have a turbinado sugar, but I don't use the turbinado sugar because it's supposed to be, it's cane sugar, but it's supposed to be not processed the way the white cane sugar is processed. But I use the Jamaican brown sugar. You know, it's crystals. If you get the right brown sugar, it's crystals. Walmart sells a pretty good crystal. Now they're selling a pretty good crystal since so many people have been looking for the Jamaican sugar. They have sugar just like the Jamaican sugar now. I wouldn't be surprised if it's not the same sugar because they got their hands on everything. You don't know where stuff is coming from, you know. Or who owns this or who's making that in this day and time because of the corporate takeovers and the people actually solidifying all the different companies, you know. But Walmart is beginning to sell the brown crystal sugar as well. So you can get it from Walmart and Fresh Grocer sells the Jamaican brown sugar, so you can get the Jamaican brown sugar in the Jamaican section of Walmart, okay? Now, that's the best thing to have. So now just we're going to move into some other things that I wanted to discuss. Now, one of the things why I didn't have anything, but I already talked about that, you know? And now, should we think differently about food and the way we eat? So we discussed that as well, you know, because we have to think differently about the food if we don't. We're not actually going to be able to eat properly. The thought process that we have has to be different, you know. And now the other thing I want to discuss is, do we need the Bible to raise our nation? And it's an interesting question, you know, that I wanted to get into for a minute, you know. King James came here, right? He didn't bring an army. He brought the book. And they raised a nation with the book, called themselves Christians. Okay? Constantine figured out what was going on and what he needed to build his nation, right? They used the book, the Bible, under Yahshua ben Bedar, whom you know as Jesus Christ. They used the book. Now, they have built the most powerful nations on the planet using the Bible, calling themselves Christian. Although, yeah, sure, Jesus wasn't a Christian, but they're calling themselves Christian. Now, we take the same book and throw it in the trash. They built nations with this book, and we've thrown this book in the trash. That's what I call absolutely amazing, you know? Now, we need to rethink what we're doing. How are we going to get ourselves back on track so that we can build, okay? Now, one of the things we need to talk about is the holidays. Now, at this particular time, if anybody want to have a question or want to say anything, you can just hit one, and I'll open up your mic, okay? Now, this is, I'll open up your mic. I also want to thank everybody that's on the line. I appreciate you calling in and hanging out with me on Sunday, because there's a lot of things you could be doing. The fact that you're here with me is good, you know? So what I'm saying is that when we read the Bible, we have to read it with the right mindset if we want to get anything out of it, you know? Like a lot of, we're talking about, we want to build our infrastructure, and we're warriors, and we're standing out. Well, there's a lot of warriors out here. You ain't got no military. You don't have no setup to structure a military, so you don't know how to build an army, how to build a nation. Well, the nation is built through families. Now, in Africa, we used to have a saying, it takes a village to raise a child, okay? So now, if it takes a village to raise a child, where's your village at? Where is the village that you're supposed to be using to raise a child? Now, I don't know how many of you actually go in and read the Bible, but in Abraham, right, it was him, his nephew, and his wife, Sarah. They're out on a journey, and 40 years later, his nephew get kidnapped. So what did he do? He grabbed an army to went to rescue his nephew. Now the question is, where did he get an army from? The army comes from the family. So you need to work with your family. Start reaching out more. You know, family culture has to set up. We don't talk to each other. We don't communicate with each other. We don't even know what each other is talking about most of the time. We don't know what's going on with each other, you know? Now, there's a reason for that, too. I use the term family, but I use the term family very loosely because mama, papa, baby, and a child, that's not really the family. That's your tribe, okay? And the family is the economic structure that you use to secure your tribe. Okay. Now, we talk about, I need a job for this. Yes, you do need a job. But you don't need a job to make a career out of it. You need a job so that you can get into some type of economic structure so that you don't have to need a job. Why do you need to work until you're 50, 60, 70 years old? That don't make no sense. You know? You're supposed to work towards the most we should be working is 20 years. You go out, you work 20 years. If you got the right thought process and you work those 20 years, you're going to be well off at the end of that 20 years. You shouldn't be working at all. You're paying other people to work for you at this particular point, you know? And all you're doing is sitting home chilling because you have residual income. You have something that's making money whether you're working or not. That's residual income. And that's what you need to focus on. So we get to that point, you know? So, and with that, if you have resources, now you can think about where the money is going to come from for security, for the military, you know? Think about this now. The things we need, food, clothing, shelter, and security. That's what we need. We got to have food. Yahshua knew that. When he was talking to the multitude, he looked at these people and said, man, these people are hungry, tired. So the first thing he did was fed them. And that's what made the Panthers so popular in the beginning, the Black Panthers. They realized that the people needed food because their children was going to school hungry and on food programs. So the Panthers actually set up a food program. And they started becoming more and more powerful, and that's the government got jealous and came in and shut them down. Now then the government sets up the food program. Don't even mention the Pampers who started it. You see what I'm saying? This is what they do. That's how evil works. Evil will come in and take what you have and don't give you credit for anything. They take what you have and take all the credit and everything for it, you know. But it's not there. They didn't set up. They just had a stronger military, and they just came in and took it. That was one of the lessons that the Panthers had to actually learn. They were engaged in physical conflict with our proper military, and you can't do that, you know. Came in and shut the house, they shot the house up, shot everybody down, locked everybody up, and there was nothing they can do about it because they didn't have no backup. They didn't have no real system of how to set up that military to protect themselves. And that's not a good idea, you know. So we're talking about food, clothing, shelter, and security. You know, if you ever go into the big corporations, when something happens, man, they don't call the popo. They call the popo to come get you after they lock you up, after they apprehend you in your business. So if you have resources, you can set up your own security. If you have a family, you can set up your own security company through your family. See what I'm saying? That way if something happens, you have backup. You have a security system in place that can come to your rescue. And these are some of the things that we need to think about that we're not thinking about. So there's a method for everything to get what you have to have. The 1% relies on family. Now, if you want to talk or if you have any comment or if you want something to say, all you got to do is hit one on your mic and you'll be able to, and I'll open the mic and you'll be able to give me a shout out or whatever you want to do, you know. Just press one. And now let me know that you have something to say, okay, that you want to make a comment. I have to check my other devices to find out what time it is because the clock on this, the clock on my board is not working properly. I got an hour and 22 minutes, but I know I don't have that much longer to go. Okay, I got less. I got about 20, 25 minutes more to go. Okay, so that's basically what's going on. You know, food, clothing, shelter, security, that's what we have to focus our energy at, you know. And we have to use the Bible. You need to pick that Bible up and read it. Now, you know, the churches have really had people taught in the Bible, you know. And the ones that aren't taught in it, they're getting so hung up in it, you can't even talk to them. I mean, they so caught up in the stuff that's in the book that you try to talk to them, it's like talking to the wall, you know? Well, the Bible, then they get a fixed thought process of what the book says, and it throws the whole thing out for them, you know? And it makes them kind of, actually, they be kind of thrown off. If you really want to talk about it, they be thrown off. You ever talk to somebody's Bible, the same thing with them, Muslims in the Quran, you know? They don't know how to read the Quran either. You know, and you talk to some Muslims with the Quran, oh, Lord have mercy. It's like talking to a brick, you know. And they be just thrown off out there, but I don't know what, you know. So there's a way to rationalize and read everything, you know. Now I've put a book together called Tyrannical Scriptures, part one and two, and that will help you pretty much with the thought process so that you can understand how the books actually work. Okay. Now, let's see, what else do I want to get in here? Now, the one question was asked me not too long ago, was the Bible and the Quran the same book, you know? You have to think about what those books are designed to do, all right? The books are designed to pacify you to a point that you can be happy under the leadership of the current power structure that you're in. In other words, whoever's in charge of the government, the Quran, the books, Bhagavad Gita, all those books sort of put you in a passive frame of mind so that you can tolerate the misuse and abuse that's going on by government, you know? And that's basically what the books have been designed to do. That flipped the script when Yeshua came in and started teaching, because he was like a revolutionary. He wasn't no book toast punk, you know. He was out there. He, him and his crew was Roman. That's why Peter had a knife. They don't, you know, they don't teach that part about Jesus, but he wasn't no joke, you know. And And so there's revolutionary stuff in the book, but you have to actually know how to go in and get it. You have to know how to go in and read it. You know, and that's what the Toronto Scriptures are designed to do, to actually help you understand the Quran and the Bible so that you can go in and see what's going on, how it works, okay? Now, I don't want to get too far up into that because that's some pretty heavyweight stuff there. And I'm not trying to overlook your brain, you know. Now the the next thing I want to deal with is verification. This is what the young people are asking. You know, for those of you on the line, the children are smart. Ain't nothing slow about those children out there. They're smart. And this is why we lose a lot of them in religious circles, because they realize, hey, man, something's wrong with this picture, you know? They're so caught up on the stuff that's in the book. When you ask them, well, what makes you so sure that this is true, you know? Oh, the Bible said so. The Bible said it is true. No, that's a bunch of crap, you know? Just because some guy put it on paper, now you got to remember, whatever God they're serving, that's supposed to be floating around the sky, but he didn't come down and start writing no books. It didn't happen. And if you really want to know, Yahshua, who you call Jesus, he didn't write no books either. He didn't write none of those books in the Bible that they talk about him. He didn't write none of them. Jesus did not write not one book that's been in the Bible. Okay? I just want to let y'all know that. Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, those are the ones that they're using. They're saying what Jesus said. So when you say, when you quote Jesus, you're quoting what Mark said about Jesus, so what John said about Jesus. Now, how can you verify what they're saying? This is what the children ask. How am I going to verify that this stuff is true? You can't. And they're trying to make you believe that, oh, this is exact. This is what it is. And no, you can't verify this, because the only way you can verify what Mark said about Jesus, you got to ask Mark, did he say it? And then once Mark said that, he said that's what Jesus said. Now you got to go and ask Jesus, is that what you said, man? But you can't do that. You can't find Mark, Matthew, Luke, or John around here right now, and you can't find Jesus. You know, I say, when I talk to you, I don't know who you talk to out there, but the same way Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he's got to come like that to tell me what's going on. You know, he got to walk up to me and say, yo, Brother Elohim, this is what's up. That's what I said. So you can't verify what's in these books, okay? So don't get hung up in arguing and fussing with each other over what's in the book. If there's something in there that's going to make you a better person, take it. Take it to yourself and use it. Say, well, the Bible said so-and-so, so-and-so. I like that part, so I'm going to keep that, you know? Well, the Bible says so-and-so. Well, I don't like that too much, so I'm going to leave that alone. You know, so don't just go hung up just because it says it in the book that you got to do it, that you got to do this, you got to do that. If it doesn't make you a better person, then don't do it. Some things, just for doing a thing, people got stoned and heads cut off and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And that's in the book. All that violence is in the book. But you might not want to be that violent person like me. I deal with love. I'm about love, okay? So a lot of things in the Bible, hey, I'm not down with it. You feel what I'm saying? But there's a lot of things in the book that I hold on to because it makes sense to me. I say, even though I can't verify that these guys actually said this, but it's written down. So I can read it, and I know that somebody said it, somebody wrote it, so it's down here, and I like what it says, so I keep that for myself. For instance, it says in one of the passages, I think it's Mark, he that eateth of me will become a son indeed, and greater works than I did will you do. So that passage is telling me I can do greater work than what Yahshua did. Oh, I like that part. You know what I'm saying? That means that I don't have to limit myself, saying that I can't do more than what Jesus did, because I can do more. It says it right in the book. You know what I'm saying? And I like that part, so I'll keep that. You know, that part I'll keep. See? So it also says that you are all gods, children of the Most High. It says that in there too. Oh, well, I like that. So I keep that. See? So the stuff that it says that I like, I keep. Stuff that it says that I don't like, I don't keep. You feel what I'm saying? One thing that I used to criticize all the time, when Abraham was asked to crucify his son in the name of God, he put his son on the altar, he's going to crucify him, you know, and then all of a sudden God tells him, you don't have to crucify your son, take him down, all that. You know what I'm saying? So he said, well, how am I going to crucify? I would never be able to crucify my child. I don't care who said it, you see? Then I thought about when I really got into what the passage meant. It didn't mean actually crucifying the child. The passage meant, are you willing to send your children off to war to fight for what you think is right? That's what they're talking about. You know what I'm saying? That's the sacrifice you make. I'm a Vietnam vet. A lot of children died over there in Vietnam, you know? 50 million people died in the Second World War. 14 million died in the First World War. These people were sacrificing their children to fight for what they have or what they have stolen, like that. They're willing to sacrifice their children for this. Now, here's the thing. Are you willing to sacrifice yours? Are you willing to sacrifice your life to fight for what you have or for what you want? That's what that passage is all about. Now, how we talk about what we want, the question is, how bad do you want it? You want it bad enough to fight for it? You want to bad enough to sacrifice for it, you know? Because in order to grow in this, some sacrifices are going to have to be made, you know? You might have to live poor for a while. You might have to go through some, oh, man. There was a movie that Will Smith did. I forget the name of the movie, but him and his son, he had a son with him. And the wife left, and he had to take care of his son. And he, but all he had was the stuff that he was selling, his medical equipment. And when he got down to almost the end of the medical equipment, he was running out of money. But he took a job with this company. But the company, it was a 3-month internship, I think it was, and he didn't get paid for that. He had to go there every day. He had to study. And he had to make money for the company for 2 or 3 months. And he didn't make it down. Now, him and his son slept in bus terminal bathrooms. He had to run to a homeless shelter every day. He almost got in a fight over one of the homeless rooms, you know, for him and his son, because some guy trying to take a spot in line. And so he had to go through all of that. And he finally, because he was competing with other people, and he was the smartest out of all of them, and he went out in the competition. But the sacrifice he had to make to go through that was absolutely amazing. And they wound up making a movie out of it because the guy became a millionaire. He became a millionaire, and him and his son was living large, you know. He set this company up, and he sold his company for millions of dollars, so he got paid, you know. But the sacrifices he had to make in order to bring that company into existence, absolutely amazing. So what I'm saying to those that are on the line is that whatever sacrifice you have to make, whatever you're willing to do to bring your dream into existence, go and do it. Just don't give up. Don't feel, just because things ain't going right today, tomorrow is right around the corner. That tomorrow is coming. You just got to make sure you're here when tomorrow gets here, you know? Some people get so thrown off, I'm going to commit suicide. But their success might be 2 days away. They don't know, you know, and they commit suicide now, and their success is right around the corner. There's always tomorrow. What you do today, you can do better tomorrow. I'm going to say that again. You didn't hear that. What you did today, you can do better tomorrow because you're unlimited. Now, this brings us to the last portion of the talk. We got about 15 minutes here. Like I said, I want to thank everybody that's on the line. I appreciate you calling in and listening to what's going on. Thank you so much. And now, the last portion of the talk, right, is who you are, okay? When we're talking about, everybody talking about God this and God that, you know. That actually wasn't part of the, but I just want to say this a little bit, you know, because who you are makes a difference to what you think you can do, you know. If you think you're less than and not equals or something, then you act like that. But if you think that there's nothing greater on the planet than you, then that's how you're going to act. So my thought to you is that you were not created. You are an extension of all of this, so you can do whatever you want. You're carrying power, so that you can do whatever you want. But like I said, sometimes you got to go through those sacrifices to get there, okay? And don't be afraid to make those sacrifices. Just hold on to your dream. Don't lose track of your dream, because your dream will become a reality if you work hard for it, and that's what you have to do. You have to work hard for it, okay? Now, the next thing that I wanted to go through was why are the security measures different in black schools than white schools? That's something I think about, you know, because when you think about it, in a black school, that government couldn't have got in. They got metal detectors, and if you don't beat it at a certain time, the door locked and you can't get in. I mean, you got IDs, you see what I'm saying? So ain't no mass shooting going to take place in a black school, because security is phenomenal in the black schools. Now, why is the security so great in the black schools and not so great in the white schools? It's the difference in thought process. They want the white children's minds to always be free. But the black children's mind, they want them to get used to being caged up, used to being locked up, used to being in security. See, it's part of the environment. The white children's environment is free. The black children's environment is like being in prison. Any young people out here that's been going to school, that went to school, they know that caged up, locked up environment, because it's in the schools. They go through it every day in the schools, where the white children's schools aren't like that. It's a difference in thought process. Used to being free, used to being locked up, you know? So that's just something I want to mention, just to give you something to think about. Now, everything that I say, am I right? No. Am I wrong? No. But I say these things to give you something to think about, just a different way of thinking about things, so that you can just have a slightly different perspective on what's going on, what's happening, you know? Now here's another question that's been asked to me that I want to deal with. Should we go off the grid? Yeah, we should go off the grid if we can get off the grid. Now, what does being off the grid mean? That means that you're not taking power from the electric company and you're not getting water from the water company, you know? That's off the grid. So you're not connected to the water company or the power company. Now, the best way to do that is you go right back to buying land. You have to buy your piece of land with a well on it, see? You buy a piece of land with a well on it, you can have that well water pumped into your house, and you can use that well water for your house. Or buy your piece of land that has a brook or a river, not a river, but a brook running through it, has some water running through the land, you know? If you do that, you can totally get off the grid, you know? If you can't get off the grid with the water, try to get off the grid with electricity, you know? Stop using the gas, turn your whole house into use electric, and then you buy generators and all that stuff. In case something go wrong, you can always back yourself up. But should we get off the grid? Yes, we should get off the grid. Wait a minute here. It's time, because the clock on the board is not working properly. And I don't want to run over my due time here. Okay. Okay, good. We got about 12 minutes. We got about 10, 12 minutes. So do we want to get off the grid? Yes. If we can get off the grid, we should get off the grid. Now, they don't want you off the grid. They're starting to pass the law in some states that they will fine you if you get off the grid. Now, what kind of nonsense is that? They're going to fine me because I don't want to pay the electric company, which they own money, when I could do it with solar panels, you know? I'm saying this stuff is getting deep. It's going to get a lot deeper than that. In the future. Do you know, I don't know if you notice or not, but in some states they have passed a law that it's against the law to feed the homeless. You can't cook a pot of beans and go out and get people some bean soup. They'll lock you up. They locked up one guy, and I forget what city it was. Locked him up because he was outside feeding the homeless. I mean, what kind of evil is that? You know, and then you got to think about who we got in the White House too. for the next, I don't know how long this guy gonna be in there, because some of the stuff he's doing, he might not last too long, you know? Now, the next thing I want to get into, we got about 10 minutes here. I talk about this stuff quite a bit because I kind of want to do it over and over, because we need to do it over and over. We need to kind of figure out what's going on, you know? And we're talking about, this is the great God, you know? I think, this is what I think. Am I right? No. Am I wrong? No. But this is just what I think. I think that every man, woman, and child on the planet is a God. Divine energy, conscious energy from the flesh. And I think that the great God is all of the people working together. And that's what they're fighting over right now. They're fighting over, see who can get the most portions of the great God to do their bidding. If you got 5 or 10,000 people following you, you paid. Oh, you paid. You know what I mean? They will give you donations. They will do what they have to do. You follow what I'm saying? So you become wealthy just because you got the great God working with you. Or if you got 5,000 people working together to build something, you can build something pretty good. You can, yeah, you can take over a whole, you can take over a whole county and run a county by yourself. Set up your county, your own police department, the whole nine yards. If you have enough of the great God working for you. Now, if the great God ever came together in unity, this planet would be a paradise overnight. You know, overnight it would be a paradise, because most people ain't trying to be fighting and killing and murdering each other. That's coming from the 1%, trying to force their will on people, you know, trying to take over your slave, which is your body. That's a whole other conversation. But everybody wants to control you, and that's what this is all about. When you think freedom, think control. How much control do I have over the military? Control do I have over the money? If somebody mess with me, can I pick up the phone and call a SWAT team or a military people to come and help me out? Nope, you don't have it like that, see? So it's all about control. And they're trying to control you. The federal government wants to control you as much as possible, because whoever controls the great God has the wealth. That's why this country is so rich. See, they know that the people in this country are actually the great God. And the more control, the people are paying taxes. So they collect the money from the great God and they become powerful. You understand? Because the more of the great God you have living in a particular area, the stronger and the more powerful the area is. That's why families are so important. When families come together, that's the great God getting together to do things. And it makes a difference. It makes a big difference, okay? I like, once again, the line is open. So those of you who are listening, and because the show is recorded, if you want to call in on Sunday, the call-in number for the show is, what is the call-in number for the show? It's, it's not even on the board. That's supposed to be on the board, but it's not there. Okay. So the calling number for the show is 5-1. No, that's not it. Okay. When I get the calling number for the show, I'll make sure that I'll give it out. Okay. That's very interesting. See, that normally that's up on the board. The call number for the show, the host numbers and all that is usually on the board, but it's not there. So the board is not working the way it's supposed to be working, but it's okay. Yeah, but that's okay. So, but we're here every day. I'm here on Sunday at 3 o'clock, okay? You can go on to Blog Talk Radio and look up Abraham Speaks, and all my episodes will come up. You can listen to any one of the episodes you want. And the call-in numbers are actually on the episode, so you can get the call-in number for the episode, although I have it right here with me right now. I believe it's 513-453-9230. That's what I believe it is. I'll have to check that and make sure. But you can always go on the Internet and on Blog Talk Radio, Elohim Speaks, and you can get it, okay? I also have a CD on the market. You can go and buy a copy if you want. It's gospel. If you want to listen to it, you can go to YouTube, look up Elohim Christ, and my CD will come up, 10 tracks, and you can listen to the tracks and see what it is. And you can go to CD Baby or Amazon and purchase a copy of it, okay? And with that, we have about 5 more minutes left, I think. Yeah. So I'm going to go back over some of the food stuff again so that I'm going to make sure I covered everything that I was supposed to cover today. Okay, yeah, the calling number is, yeah, I got it. The calling number is 516-453-9220. Once again, the calling number is 516-453-9230, okay? And I pretty much talked about everything I want to talk about today. So I just want to just reiterate one or two of the things that we talked about. And one of the most important things that I want to talk about, because this is so important. Oh, this is one of the most important things that I've talked about all the time, is that you were not created. That's the hardest thing to get people to get in, because we've been programmed so much that we're not less than, and we're not equal to this God, and we have to pray to this God for whatever we want. Well, you were not created. You are an extension. You are an expansion of this God that you're talking about, the expansion of this energy. So you're actually carrying power. You don't have to pray for what you want. You can speak what you want into existence. If you speak it, okay, and you talk about what you want, the universe goes into motion through action and reaction and brings it to you so that you get everything that you want. But you can't give up as you're on this journey, because you have to get from point A to point B, because the stuff that you're looking for is waiting for you. But you have to stay on the journey to get to it, because it takes time through action and reaction for the universe to prepare stuff for you, be there when you get there, all right? But you have to get there, you know? Like you might be in Philadelphia, say, oh, I want this, I want that. And then you move to Camden over there catching hell. I wonder why you're catching hell in Camden, because everything you asked for was in Philadelphia. So now you got to switch everything around and send it to Camden, where it's going to take more time. So if you're asking for stuff in Philadelphia, then stay in Philadelphia until you get what you ask for, you know, like that. And if you ask for stuff someplace else, then go there. Go where you're asking for the stuff that you're going to get. But if you're asking for stuff here and then you go someplace else and wonder why you're catching so much hell, you know what I'm saying, because the stuff you asked for is coming up now and you're not here to get it, you know. So wherever you want to whatever you want to achieve, whatever you're trying to do, and whatever you've been asking for, stuff that, you need to stay in place or work towards that journey so you can get what you want, you know. Because trust me, if you ask for it, it's coming. But here's the thing. You got to make sure that what you ask for is really what you want. I said this all the time, because my mom said it all the time, be careful what you ask for, because it just might get it. So what you're asking for, make sure it's really what you want, okay? Because you're going to want it. If you ask for it and it ain't really what you want, and you don't forgot about it, two months later, sitting in front of you, say, oh, man, I don't even want that. That's what you asked for. You know what I'm saying? And now you don't want it. So make sure that you set your plan. Let me go through this one time. We got about 5 minutes here. I'm just going to see the clock is wrong. I got 90 seconds. The show's almost over. Unbelievable. Well, time flies when you're having fun. But plan your end game, then go back to the beginning and step by step work towards your end game. Okay? Each move that you make should be taking you towards your end game, towards that million or $2 million or whatever you're trying to accomplish. Each step that you make is should be taking you towards your end game. Okay? So we got about 1 minute. So with this 1 minute, I want to thank everybody again for calling in. This is Listening Speaks. I appreciate it. We talked about health this week. Now, in the coming weeks, I'm going to spend a lot of time in the Bible going over the different verses and showing you how to actually read the book so that you can gain the power of that book. That book is powerful, and it will help you get what you want, okay? So just stay tuned. I got about 40 or 50 more more shows to do on the Bible. And but just today, I've just been dealing with health because of the way last month turned out, okay? So I'd like to thank everybody for calling in. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And and don't forget to share. And I'll be here next Sunday, and we'll be talking about some good things next Sunday, too, okay? Remember, I love you, and stay strong. Remember, love is the act to make others feel good.